Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Your eyes do not deceive you. It is just I tonight, Ryan. Jocelyn is having a special birthday surprise weekend. Her parents came up to visit, so I am going to not solo the show. I've put a call out for guests to call in. We're going to bring those people in a bit. Anybody can call in. Just give R. Murphy TGI a call on Skype, and we'll bring you into the call to talk about your video games. So, as you know, I'm Ryan Murphy, and welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair, literally, because you're going to be on this episode next to the fire, not too close, because mics do burn. It looks like you've had a long journey. Just so everybody knows, whatever you want to talk about video game-wise, I'm open to anything. I've had a busy week. I haven't had a chance to play a lot of titles. So if you want to start calling in now, I'll take first come, first serve. And everybody in the chat room, just be sure to remind folks that they should call R. Murphy TGI, and we will get you on the show. And you don't need to add me as a contact. You can just give me a call. I won't be adding people as contacts during the show because that would be distracting. But I'll start things off while we wait for a call. I have been able to play a couple games, beat one. The first one is called A Story About My Uncle. This game might be familiar in the sense that it was recommended by James Bartholomew. He was on the show a couple weeks ago, or I guess a month ago now. Man, time flies. It's an interesting title. It is a story about the main character's uncle. You play as a father telling a bedtime story to your daughter about the adventures you had with your uncle. The story is interesting. It's one of those indie titles where the story is kind of like, oh, this is cute, until, you know, you hit a pivotal moment and it all kind of was like, oh, that's what it was about, which was completely lost on me because I was just having fun with the gameplay. The gameplay is very reminiscent of like a future Spider-Man type game. You play a little kid, and it's a platforming sort of puzzle game. You're going to die a lot. And basically what happens is you've got these like glove things that like shoots out these laser swing vine weirdo things. And it's really interesting. What you do is you traverse the land, and basically the land starts off as just like ramps and small jumps, but then quickly progresses into huge chasms that you have to cross by linking together swings. You get a limited amount of swings, and I think it's three. Maybe you know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe Twitch does not like this story. So maybe I'll talk about a different story. I'll talk about Wolfenstein: The New Order while we wait for people to call in. Remember, R. Murphy TGI on Skype. Wolfenstein, picked that up on the Steam sale. Half price, $30. It just came out at the end of May. It's really cool. I was a little suspect. I've never played a Wolfenstein game before. Even the old school, like 3D titles that were done by id a long time ago. And it's a story about Nazi Germany winning the war and creating basically a giant Nazi planet in the 1960s. And you play as B.J. Blastoquits or something. I don't know. People who are a fan of Wolfenstein probably know what I'm talking about. I don't know. His first name is B.J., I think. If I'm getting that wrong, that's probably the worst part about me talking about this game. Shooting mechanics are awesome. The story is really cool. It's one of those shooters that you would suspect that, oh, there's a dude bro as the player. You know, that sucks. It's just this beefy white guy. Blazkowicz. Thank you, Busy Zombie Lord. It's interesting and it's really cool. The story really works well. The character plays nice. There's not a lot of like hammy crap going on in the game. You hate Nazis, and They do not make it easy to like those guys in this game. They are awful people, as I'm sure they were back in the 40s. So you're like doing, you're just shooting things. You get to dual wield. You know, you're chucking grenades, all your standard first person shooter awesomeness. But there's one little thing that differs in this game, and it's like sort of like a stealth mechanic. When you enter rooms, there are guards, which you can take out by, you know, taking them down with your knife and stuff like that. But then there are like these overlord things, like the officers, and what they do is they will summon reinforcements based on whether they see you or not. There's a little thing in the top right hand corner that is like a where they are, like a radar, and then like whether they've called in reinforcements, and you have to kill those guys before they call. Like, the reinforcements aren't crazy, it's just like maybe 3 or 4 extra dudes come in, and yeah, it's really cool. You kind of sneak around, you get him, and then you kind of pick off all the other guys, and it's similar to how I played Dishonored. I mean, in Dishonored, I'd kind of like scuttle through, crouching, like killing dudes, and then walking around killing dudes, and I'd try not to get into like hardcore combat. I'd just pick them off one at a time, and it's really nice to see a game where you're encouraged to go balls to the wall, dual AK-47s, killing Nazis, like, it's going out of style. And you can just go in and kind of, like, just sneak in and kill them one by one. I mean, whenever we talk about first-person shooters on this show, it feels a bit like we're psychos. So, but they're Nazis. They kind of had it coming. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we have our first caller. Let's bring him in. Hello, Josh. How's it going? You're on the Gamers Inn.
What's up, Ryan?
Not much. Not much. I'm talking about video games.
Video games? Unheard of.
Yeah. So, what have you been playing? Because I was just talking about Wolfenstein, and it's a shooter. I don't know how much I can go in. So, what have you been playing? You were on last week. The NEKEY Gaming Network, right?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
So what have you been playing? Tell the fine folks.
I've been getting back into the Kerbal Space Program game.
Oh my god. I've owned that for the longest time, have yet to boot it up. Yeah, I know, I'm an awful person.
That game is hilarious, especially if you have no idea how to build spaceships and you're trying to launch them into space.
Okay, so quick question. Have you successfully launched somebody into space?
Yes. Took a few tries, mm-hmm. A couple casualties, uh-huh. But you know, it's all about the end goal, and we got into space.
Yeah,
didn't successfully get back down to the planet, but that's another story. You know, that's just, that doesn't matter.
They, you know, those Kerbals, they live to get to space. They're not too keen on coming back anyways. You're fine. And so that's interesting. That's very cool. Kerbal Space Program. I need to boot it up. It's one of those titles that looks awesome, and you want to support it as it's an indie game, early access still, correct?
Yes. Well, yeah. I think it's full release. Oh. I know they've done some updates, because I just recently got into it like a couple days ago, but I hadn't played it for like months.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I've noticed that there's updates. I don't know if it's still early access. I think it's just one of those games where everyone was like, oh, the sandbox is pretty cool, and the designers are like, all right, we'll just stick to upgrading sandbox.
That's cool. So, you know what Kerbal Space Program always reminded me of? It reminds me of Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts on the 360. Did you ever play that title?
Isn't it like a sin to mention that title or something?
A sin?
Bite
your tongue, good sir. That game is amazing. I love Banjo-Kazooie, even if it's centered around building carts and driving around. Oh, man, now I want to play that game. It was sort of the same idea, except you weren't trying to go to space. You were trying to build like contraptions to solve a specific puzzle. And I mean, I guess in Kerbal Space Program, there's no overarching goal. You're just supposed to like play, right?
Yeah, you can kind of set objectives to yourself, because pretty much there's a whole solar system that's available to explore. Mm. So like right now, what I'm trying to work on is landing on the moon. And so far, I've only been able to faceplant it. Mm-hmm.
That's how most people did it. That's how the Russians got there first. They didn't bother figuring out how to get back. It's like, oh, I can't do a Russian accent. We just faceplant the moon, and we'll get there first. All our astronaut probably will die, but... Hmm?
It is all about the Sputnik program.
There you go. See, this is why we brought you on. Now do German, because when I talk about Wolfenstein, if I try to do German, I'm just going to offend people.
I don't think I can do German.
Speaking of Wolfenstein, like, we kind of got away from Nazis being in our video games, what with World War II kind of being done to death. Do you feel like Nazis being in video games again is sort of, like, offensive? Like, super evil people that are from a country that is still around today and actually quite nice, last I checked.
I mean, I would say no.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know back with the first Wolfenstein, when it got, I think when it came to America or somewhere else, they changed the Nazis into just regular soldiers.
Mm.
But I mean, it's part of history. It's good to know what was going on. I mean, if you look at games like Call of Duty or something like that, where they give it a more realistic feel.
Yeah.
I think it's just more of a historical reference. I mean, I haven't played the new Wolfenstein, but I'm not sure if anybody's going to complain about going through and mowing down a bunch of Nazis.
That's true. I don't think anyone's literally going to complain about it, and I'm sure most Germans would agree. I mean, it'd be interesting if we do have German listeners. It'd be interesting to see what they think. I'm sure everybody's at this point. It's a part of history. They were really evil people, and you know it makes sense to have them as evil villains. But I guess where it differs with the New Order is that it's the super villain type Nazis. You know, if you're Nazi, you're evil, and you talk like it. I almost went into Italian. You talk like this, you know, like, and you're constantly like talking about killing people. And there's like a specific moment in the game where you sneak onto a, you're on a train trying to go to Berlin, and chat room saying they're wearing the same headphones. I know, like, these are Apple headphones, so I think a lot of people are still wearing the same ones. I'm cheap; I don't buy new headphones, but. You sneak onto a train. You don't sneak. You get on a train. You're going to Berlin with your newfound lover, who is also like a caretaker for some reason because you're in a coma for 20. Anyway, that doesn't matter. But you're on a train and you're like bringing. You're watching like the typical first person. Like, ooh, I'm gonna watch my character make coffee, and then you're bringing your coffee back to your room, and this like Nazi lady stops you and says, like, oh, you bring coffee over here and you sit down and we do tests to make sure you are of Nazi blood. And then they start, like, showing you pictures and stuff, and like, she has a gun next to her. And she's, like, a super Nazi just, like, talking to you. And you can, like, you can decide to grab that gun and try to shoot them. And that doesn't go well because there's a giant mech in the room. But I thought it was interesting that I think one of the main reasons that game is... so well, it's so well received right now is that it's not your typical first person shooter, whereas Call of Duty is like a run and gun. Literally, you're running, gunning, you're beating the campaign, and you move on.
Yeah.
In this, you're given a map, you're given objectives that are interesting, you're given little story moments where you can do choices like that, where you're interacting with characters and branching paths and stuff, but you're also with the map. If you search close enough, you're given a map of the area with all these little question marks, which are like unlockables. And it encourages you to kind of like sneak around and explore and stuff. It's really neat. And I mean, for those who are itching for a first person shooter, that's both going to give you that satisfaction of shooting dudes. We all know that you want that. I mean, come on, that's why we play first person shooters, right? But it'll also give you that a chance to play a game that is truly different, you know, in terms of being a first-person shooter. But Kerbal Space Program, back to not talking about Nazis. That's all I have to say about the New Order. I haven't really gotten very far yet. I'm still, like, maybe a couple hours in. But one last thing I will say, there's a moment in the game where you have a choice, and you have a choice between saving two people, It's not really a spoiler. It's like right at the, near the first level. And depending on who you choose, it says X timeline and Y timeline. So it'd be really interesting. It's interesting to see that they've like, you know, created two timelines. I don't know how different they are, but it is solely a first-person single-player shooter game. So there's no multiplayer. So I don't know if I still don't know if it's if that timeline was created for Flare, or that those separate timelines were created to literally give you more content to play.
That'd be interesting to explore, just because you usually don't see that unless you're in like a RPG, like you know, Mass Effect or Dragon Age. So mm-hmm. to put it in a first-person shooter, I mean, it definitely pays to replayability.
Yeah, it's really cool in the sense that it's unlike other first-person shooters with the unlockables, because they pair those unlockables with the cool story that they're building. Like, what if history is really interesting, because it's really fun to say what if, you know, like what if the that wouldn't be fun. But, you know, what if the Nazis won World War II? What would the world be like? Well, there'd be a lot more mechanized dogs that eat your flesh, that are hard to kill. But yeah, it's really cool. And next time it goes on sale, definitely pick it up, or, you know, go buy it at full price. It's definitely worth it.
Yeah. I've been contemplating whether or not to pick it up.
I was this close to like not picking it up on the Steam sale, but I was like, you know what? I haven't bought a lot of like new games. So I figured, hey, let's check this out. So that's enough about Nazis. Can you be a Nazi in Kerbal Space Program?
Well, I mean, you can be evil and continuously send your Kerbals to die, I guess. I mean, part of the fun of it is experimenting on building spaceships. And along with experimentation comes a lot of failures. One of the first gameplay videos I've ever recorded was just like 10 cut strips of video showing me just fail one after another. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of sad because it gives you a little portrait picture of the Kerbal pilot. Mm-hmm. And they look all happy and oblivious to what's going on. And you're just watching the ship nosedive into the planet. And you're like, oh, sorry, little guy.
But they don't feel pain, right?
I think they die too quick for that.
No. At least you're putting them out of their misery earlier rather than later. Well, that's awesome, man. I'm glad that you're playing that game, because everybody who talks to me about it says, oh, you have it? Why haven't you booted it up? Like, it's one of those get in there and tinker type games. So that's cool. So, Josh, we're going to keep you on, and we're going to see if somebody else wants to join in. Just going to put a call out there while we continue to talk about what you've been playing. But again, people, it's R. Murphy TGI. Feel free to call. You don't have to make me a contact. I want to hear what you guys are playing. Josh wants to hear what you guys are playing. We want to talk about other games. You don't want me to talk about Nazis for the rest of the hour. Come on. I'm not, I swear. Like, if we don't have callers, we'll call it early. So you got to get in. Yeah. So you've been playing anything else besides Kerbal Space Program?
I finished up The Wolf Among Us, but...
Oh, what?
I don't want to jump in storyline, because I don't want to ruin it. But, oh my God, such an awesome, awesome game.
You know what? Lou will get you in a sec, but...
Take your time.
I have...
What's up, Lou?
You just reminded me, Josh, of this crazy thing that just royally pissed me off about The Wolf Among Us. And the way Telltale builds their games. Like, God, you know, I love Telltale to death. But they're still working on tech. Like, the way their Wolf Among Us works is that when you install it, it automatically picks your C drive, which I have two drives. One's my solid state for the OS, and one's my data drive for my games. I have a very limited amount of space on my solid state, and for some reason, Telltale defaults to the C drive. I'm sure there's a way for me to change it by moving all my documents to the data drive, but I don't want to do that because I want all my files, my highly accessed files, on the C drive. Anyways, I go to play. I'm super excited. I got the day off. I got 2 hours to finish it up. And I go into Wolf Among Us, download it, go to play it. The backgrounds are black and the characters are fully rendered. And I'm like, ooh, this is a stylized intro. This is really cool. So I continue to play it. And then I realize, oh, it's broken as shit.
I told you before, you should have bought it on Steam.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that, because if I had bought it on Steam, I could have just, like, verified cache, and then it would have re-downloaded it. It also probably would have told me, I found out the reason it was broken, it would have also told me that I don't have enough space on my drive. So, come on. so what I had to do was Google, how to delete episodes, because there's no way to do it from the UI. You got to go into your data drive, or your C or user data, and delete the episodes. Then I had to re-download it. And I finally tested it, and it's like, great, it's working, but I'm not going to be able to play it before tonight's episode. So that's my rant on that. But I do hear great things. You know, spoiler-free, Josh, before we ask Lou what he's been doing. Is it good?
It's fantastic.
Lou played it too.
Yes, I did.
See, everybody, man, no fair.
See, I waited. I played episode 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. And I loved them so much, but I hated waiting for that next episode. Like, I like how they do the episodic thing, except when they make a game so great that I hate waiting for it.
Oh.
So, I haven't played since episode 2. So, I just, last night or 2 nights ago, I just burned through. I actually restarted the whole game, did chapters 1 through 5, and it was just fantastic.
Sweet.
Yeah, I have to say, I do hate the wait, but they definitely were faster with this. Mm-hmm. Than they were with The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a very good point. Usually with Telltale games, you've had to wait almost a year to get the full package.
Right. I was going to say, they with Walking Dead, it felt like they stretched it for the entire year. Yeah. With Wolf Among Us, I bought it at Christmas time, and there was only one episode out.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've already gotten to the full game. 6 months.
They've actually surpassed The Walking Dead Season 2 in terms of output of those episodes. Now, mind you, The Wolf Among Us started working on that a while before even Walking Dead was started. That game's been in development for a long time. But I was surprised to hear that they were releasing the season finale in July. I thought it was on track for August, because we're getting Episode 4 of Season 2 like next week.
I won't spoil the plot, but mm-hmm. I will say this. So the final chapter wraps up a lot of the plot points.
Mm-hmm.
It pretty much sums up the story, and then it leaves you with a like, oh, wait, when's season 2 going to happen again moment?
Oh, really? Yeah. I felt the same way.
Oh,
it was all coming to an end. I was like, all right. And then that moment happened. I was like, okay, when season 2, episode 1, when is that being released? Because this needs to happen.
Well,
it leaves you with a couple of big questions right at the very end, and you're like, "Wait,
See, that's unfortunate, and also you kind of had to see it coming. Like, that game's been doing so well for Telltale that if they weren't going to do a season 2, the only unfortunate part is that you look at their current titles coming up. They have Borderlands. They have to finish off season 2 of Walking Dead, and then they have that Game of Thrones, which all we have is literally a thrown together logo. So the chances of getting a season 2 for Wolf Among Us in early 2015, slim to none. Like,
I'd say we'll be getting it by the end of 2015.
I think
that,
so.
That we'll get the first episode by then.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the good news is, though, is that it summed up season 1. So it didn't feel like, oh my god, season 1's not done. When are they going to release this? It just kind of felt like a, hey, you better be ready for season 2 because
there's more story. That's what it's not a real spoiler, but it's like there's more story
for The Wolf Among Us.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's how it ends.
I wonder if they could do something now. Walking Dead season 1 didn't do this, but they had sort of like a 1.2 episode come out where it was like 400 days, which it was a bite-sized DLC. Is that something they could do for The Wolf Among Us? Maybe have something come out at the end of this year as a epilogue?
They maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Telltale has too many things being juggled at the moment. I don't think they'll bother.
Yeah.
My hope is that Game of Thrones is a new engine and it doesn't, and the guys don't talk like they're puppets. That, you know, and the guy running the puppets like drunk, you know, it's like they talk and then it's like it doesn't even match and it's terrible. Come on, guys, if you're a storytelling video game, the one thing you need to get good is the way the characters talk. And sometimes it just looks ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's not a game breaker for me. I know it's a game breaker for Joel Duggan, who's an animator. He sees that and he just cringes. For me, I can kind of look past it, but ever since he's mentioned it to me, I was like, can't stop.
Speaking of dialogue that doesn't sync up, I should probably talk about the game I actually have been playing since yesterday.
Oh, okay. Well, what's that?
So yesterday, an indie title hit Steam, Good Old Games, and it's sort of a spiritual successor to a series of games from the 80s and 90s called The Quest for Glory games.
Ooh.
And I'm a huge fan of this series. My first computer game was a Quest for Glory game. So when I heard about this spiritual sequel, Quest for Infamy, I've been really, really excited. And it was originally supposed to launch in the middle of the Steam sale, and they pushed it off an extra week so that they wouldn't have to compete in the middle of the Steam sale. So yesterday, Quest for Infamy hit Steam.
So what is this game? I'm not familiar with the series. So okay. What is it?
So they're a hybrid. It's part adventure game, like point-and-click old-school adventure game, and it's part role-playing game. The world is huge, so you're wandering from screen to screen looking for puzzles and stuff, but bandits might jump out of a bush and attack you, and then it turns into a strategy RPG, like a strategy RPG, and you have to battle the guy and have a sword fight. And then if you beat him, you might get some extra money that might help you buy some equipment in town or buy rations, because you have to keep feeding your guy. Every day he has to eat like 2 or 3 rations, and that costs you money. So you have to wander around, solve puzzles, and make sure you're eating. You have to go to bed because it's a day-night cycle. And that's the series
intense.
It's really cleverly written. The basic gist is you're a guy named Rome, and he is a kind of jack of all trades in the shady side of business, and he gets chased out of his town by a baron because he was sleeping with the baron's daughter. And
as you do.
Yep. And he ends up in this small village, and the road is out, so he's stuck there. And so you go into town, and there's an execution going on. They caught somebody, and they're executing them. And he's like, oh boy, I don't know if I should be here. And then they decide that he's stuck there, so you have to pick a profession once the execution happens.
Right.
There's several characters you can talk to, and you can be a thief.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of your puzzles revolve around you being a thief and sneaking past people rather than fighting them.
Wait, puzzles change based on the class you pick?
Yes.
So I'm looking at this game on Steam, $20, and it looks like an old school point and shoot computer game.
Yep.
Okay, so that's neat.
But it's also part RPG.
Yeah, it looks a lot like, I never played a lot of it, but it looks like King's Quest. Is that correct?
It is.
Oh, yeah, okay. The Quest for Glory and King's Quest, and I think Space Quest was the other one.
Yep.
They're all kind of the similar series. I grew up on those. They're fantastic. So,
and if anybody is interested in the game, but they're not sure if they want to drop $20 on it, I totally understand. And my suggestion for you would be to go to Steam and look for a game called Heroine's Quest, something of Ragnarok.
Okay.
And one of the developers of this game also made that game, and that game is free on Steam.
Okay.
And it's the same kind of game, except instead of playing Rome, you play a female character. And it's all Norse mythology.
Interesting.
Man, looking at all these screenshots is bringing me back to the days of Quest for Glory.
Yeah, I remember. I think
they're not hard.
They're not hard.
They're not hard.
Oh, okay. So like, it's not like
puzzles are tricky, but like the puzzles are tricky, and you may like. I got stuck last night.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to find a way to get somebody oil, but I needed a container to hold the oil. And I was trying to figure it out. And then it dawned on me I missed something. And I had to go back to a different location and find this little puzzle piece that I had missed. And it took me like maybe 45 minutes to figure it out. But it wasn't hard. I just kind of was like, oh, wait, there was something on a table I didn't pick up in the other back in town. Oh, I got to go back.
Hmm.
But it wasn't, it's not real super challenging.
Interesting. That sounds cool. But you know what? It's not one of those games that you play a whole lot of, you know? And it's nice to look back at what gaming was. And it's also nice when it's not just an HD remake. This even looks like those old school games. Like, they haven't gone ahead and...
It's the all hand-drawn art. Mm-hmm. They also used... there's an adventure game creator tool.
Sure.
That's what this was all designed with.
Interesting. Interesting. Well,
It was a Kickstarter as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I Googled it and I saw Kickstarter pop in. I'm going to refresh the guests here a little bit. Lou, I'm going to ask you to keep on here and keep on keeping on. But Josh, okay. I want to say goodbye. Is there any final words for the listeners?
Game on.
Game on. And where can people find you, just so they know?
Check out my website, theanikigaming.com, and we do our own podcast Saturday at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, the Aniki Gaming Podcast.
Nice. See, there you go, folks. You got your Friday night planned, you got your Saturday night planned, Sunday, do whatever you want. Day of rest, all that fun stuff. Awesome, Josh. Thanks for calling in. I'm going to kill some Kerbals this weekend. I think that's what's gonna happen. So we'll talk to you later, man. Thanks for calling in.
Alrighty.
So folks, that was Josh. And hey, if you want to call in too, there's still time. We're going to do this until, I don't know, we'll go the whole hour and we'll see how it goes. But if you want to call in, do what Lou and Josh have done by calling R. Murphy TGI. You don't have to make me a contact, just call in. And the folks in the chat room will help you out. So if you have any questions, they'll help you. Before we move into your other stuff, Lou, I just want to remind people, Joss and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. Use the code THEGAMERSIN to double your RAM when you purchase a new gaming rig. Head on over to DoghouseSystems.com and get your order. I almost always say odor. Don't get your odor. Get your order on, folks. Come on. So that's that. Again, folks, you want to call in, be sure to call in anytime. We'll bring you into the call. But Lou,
come on, there was just a Steam sale. I'm sure people have plenty of stuff they're playing right now.
I know. So, I mean, I poked Lou and Josh ahead of the show and said, hey guys, I want to have a couple regulars in the chat room, so we pulled you guys in. Yeah, Josh.
Actually, I haven't been on the show in quite a while.
That's true. But we're good buddies. We do a podcast together, so I figured I'd have some easy guests in here to come on and talk about games and stuff. But
speaking of things we should talk about, we should mention that, you know, we did play not the Sniper Elite Nazi Zombies 2.
We did.
If people haven't seen that video,
it's going up soon. I will have it up probably this weekend, and it's about an hour and a half of us shooting zombies in the head. And we touched on it last week when Josh was on, and we had a good time with that game. And we'll link it on the Gamers In YouTube as well. We got someone coming in here. Evan, what have you been up to? What have you been playing?
Well, I watched you guys play the Sniper Elite zombie thing last week on the Gamers In.
Oh, yeah,
and
perfect.
And so that actually reminded me that I got the normal Sniper Elite, a couple of weeks ago when it was free on Steam?
Oh, version 2.
Oh, yeah. V2 is a blast.
Yeah, and so I played through that, and that's one of the first games I've played completely through. I've just sat down and played it in, like, 2 days. Like, it wasn't very long. I'm just itching to play the third one because it was so much fun.
I haven't played all the way through it. I've only played through like the first 3 missions. It's like 5 missions, isn't it?
I can't remember exactly. Probably something like that. I think my total game time is probably about 10 hours-ish, I reckon.
Okay, that makes about sense.
Oh, interesting. Only 5 missions, eh? That seems like that'd be pretty quick. Now, do those 5 missions, are they extended by the fact that you're not just running and gunning, you're planning your shots? Like, what difficulty did you play on?
I played, I think, on this, not the hardest, but the one back from the hardest difficulty. So you've got to plan a little bit. it's not hugely open-ended, but there's sort of things you can do if you're kind of paying attention. It's a little bit too straightforward at times. Like, it tells you where to set up traps and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Occasionally, which apparently the third one is a lot better than that. It's a lot more, not open world, but it's a lot more open. You've got a lot more choice.
Okay.
But the physics, I'm getting all myself all confused.
Nazis will do that to you.
Yeah, they will. But just the way it makes every shot feel really awesome, like with the slowdown and stuff, which you guys had a little bit in the zombie one.
Mm-hmm.
In the single player, it's just every shot that is like reasonably on aim and stuff just feels awesome because it slows down and you follow it all the way and just makes you feel like a total badass the entire time. It was great fun.
Nice.
I gotta say, we had a great time with the zombie one, but that was my big gripe, is I've been playing all of them with the slowdown and stuff, mm-hmm. and none of that happens when you're playing multiplayer, and I was like, oh, come on.
Oh, could you imagine if every time you got a good shot, it's like, oh wait, the game's gotta slow down so we can show the zombie's innards, so that's happening. And even, and we mentioned this last week, even when you do get like a slowdown shot, everything else is moving at the same time, so you can kind of feel that... you can feel like that pause, and sometimes to your detriment because there's zombies everywhere and they're going to eat your face. So it's a bit of a pain. But so you're saying you're thinking about picking up Sniper Elite 3, right?
Well, I'm having real trouble. I'm sitting here this morning because it's Saturday morning because I'm in Australia, mm-hmm. and there's Sniper Elite 3, and then everyone's been talking about Divinity: Original Sin, which looks amazing.
Right. Right.
And then there's the Red Solstice as well, which is like a co-op thing that was just released on Steam the other day, and that looks really fun too. So I can't decide what game I want to play next. I probably will end up getting Sniper, but I'm not really not sure.
Well, I can say with maybe a little bit of authority that we might be checking out... did you say Divinity: Original Sin?
Yeah.
Yeah, we might have some YouTube content for Divinity: Original Sin and Red Solstice in the next couple weeks. GIS gamers in the chat room, play Smite, or we might just have some Smite content to have on the YouTube. We don't have any Smite content on the YouTube. What's up with that, Joss? Let's get on that. Let's get some Ribbitits action going. For those who haven't listened to the show and thought I just made a super swear, no, that is officially Nice name on the Gamers Inn. But no, we'll try to get some content up, but I think that Sniper Elite 3 looks pretty rad. And now the real question is, have you shot Hitler in the face?
No, I didn't get the Hitler DLC yet. I should probably do that before I get the third one, yeah.
Now how is that for a croc that, you know, everyone complains about DLC, and like the one dude everyone wants to kill in World War II, they offer him as DLC. Like, is that not a travesty?
That is a travesty.
Isn't he DLC in the third one as well?
He probably is.
He's DLC in the third one. I think he's pre-order DLC.
Yeah, so how does that work? If you play them all, you kill Hitler multiple times. Do they clone him or something? Or
Maybe it's like an alternate timeline or something, or I don't know.
It confused me a little bit, but yeah. Considering the second one, too, it's based like after Germany's already basically losing the war. Like, it's all, a lot of it is Russia. It's not necessarily Germans the entire time.
Josh in the chat room is asking, are we back on Nazis? Of course. This is the Nazi-themed call-in show, so if anybody has anything else to say about Nazis, be sure to call R. Murphy TGI. No, I'm joking. You don't have to talk about Nazis.
In the vein of Nazis, I have to say, when we were playing Sniper Elite Nazi Zombie Army, we didn't get it on the stream, but my personal favorite thing is the opening video to that, where Hitler is trapped in a bunker, and the zombies are all piling up in front of the door, and the guy in the room with it wants to open up the door, and he shoots him in the face, and then it looks like he's going to start crying, and that's the end of the video, and it's a pretty awesome opening.
Yeah, Hitler crying is one of my favorite openings of all time for anything, really. I mean, that sort of like really gets you going, right? It's like, oh, Hitler's crying. This is going to be fantastic. Now he's crying because he thinks he's going to be eaten by zombies, right?
Yep.
So at that point, why didn't he just use the cyanide pill? Like, everybody knows World War II history, right? But no, that just got dark. All right. Well, besides Nazi zombies and all that, let's try to get off the Nazi stuff here. Evan, have you been playing anything else, or are you just sniping folks?
Just sniping this week. I've been trying to play Wildstar, but I've been having some serious issues with my internet the last couple of weeks, so not doing much, which is why I'm tending back to the single-player games and stuff again, so...
Yeah, I mean, it's an ebb and flow for me, like, too. Sometimes I'm big in multiplayer, and other times I want to play single-player, and Jocelyn's just texting me, like, come on, we got to play Smite, we got to play Smite, we got to play... If you guys haven't tried Smite yet, I'm surprised Jocelyn isn't hounding you, because she loves... Smite.
I played a game of Smite this morning, actually, while I was waiting for you.
Oh, perfect.
When after you tweeted that you were playing the starting, mm-hmm. I played one game trying to get the 200 gems, but I don't think anyone else in my team had the curse thing, so like it didn't work. I've got to try and do that later.
What's the curse thing? Explain that. I don't know what that is.
They've got something with curse voice now, so you can get in-game voice with your team.
Oh, neat.
So this weekend, I think, if you install it and then you talk to your team on it, they give you 200 free gems. Explode was talking about it in the chat room. He's already got it. So I couldn't get it to work. So I think you need to be with people that have it as well for it to actually give you the 200 gems. So
that's really interesting because I don't know if I want the option to talk to my players. I can sometimes hardly stand the text.
It'd be good, I suppose, playing with you guys, but then we use Skype anyway and we've done it anyway. So we don't really need an in-game thing, but... The 200 gems would be nice.
Oh, okay. So Jocelyn's saying the promo goes till August 31st. So we got lots of time.
Fair enough.
So I'll put it out there again, folks. We're probably going to be looking at wrapping up soon. So if you want to get your calls in, be sure to call in. I know if I take your call, everything might explode. So Lou and Evan, don't take it personally.
It's not at all. In fact, I should probably bow out so that you can bring in somebody else. And this show ain't so crowded.
All right. Well, I'm laughing at Josh because every time in Smite, there's emotes using your keyboard, and I always do please because I like the way it sounds. But no, thank you, Lou, for joining us. Lou, why don't you remind the fine folks where they can catch you and learn more about this quest for infamy that you're on?
You can learn more about me at Busy Zombie Lord on Twitter, and I also co-host a show with you, sir, called Zombies Ate My Podcast, and we do that every week.
Yeah, cool. No, we have a great time on that. An awkward silence, so maybe we don't. Maybe we don't have a good time.
Sorry, I was getting ready to hit the hang-up button.
No, it's fine. I was just joking around. Thanks for calling in, Lou. I was just saying have a great time on that show. But slots are opening up, folks. Call in. I'm going to talk to Evan a little bit more. About the Vigi games, but call R. Murphy TGI. You don't need to make me a contact. And if you have any questions, folks in the chat room will help you out. And Jocelyn's in the chat room. Maybe she should call into her own show. Let us know how it's going. It's up to her, really. She's got the night off. Evan, shooting Nazis in the face. I promised we wouldn't talk about Nazis, but that's all you've been doing, right? Shooting Nazis.
Yeah, that's about it. And getting excited for Dragon Age Inquisition.
Oh, man. They've been posting content like crazy. Have you been watching all the dev diaries and stuff?
Yeah. The last 2 days, they released two, like, 15-minute gameplay videos. So I caught up on them this morning. It looks incredible.
I know. It makes me sad that I'm going to have to buy a $70 game and then buy a $600 graphics card to play that thing.
Yeah, well, my wife bought me the Xbox One for our anniversary this year, so got Inquisition pre-ordered for that already, which she'll probably play more than me. She introduced me to Dragon Age. She played it before we met and loved it, so we've got Dragon Age 1 and 2 for the 360, and she plays that all the time. So she's excited for Inquisition, and I just can't wait. It just looks amazing.
Perfect. You know what? I love the Dragon Age titles. Now, have you played any of the other ones, or are you just interested in the new one coming out?
I played a little bit of the first one. Never played the second one. I watched my wife play through, I think, three or four times, both of them. But this one looks a lot better. One was really good. One was way better than two, but then the combat in two was really good.
Uh-huh.
So whereas the Inquisition looks like it's a good mix of the combat, and it just looks super pretty and hopefully more involved with the story than what two was.
Yeah, I played all of them, and one was more janky in terms of gameplay. It was kind of held back so the console port could come out at the same time. So if it had been released when it was meant to on the PC, it probably would have been it would have been perfect. But the story is really good, and the characters are awesome. But where it lags is just sort of I don't want to say archaic seems a bit mean, but like the old school combat turned some people off.
It feels very dated. It's like it's very similar to Mass Effect. Like my wife just loves BioWare. She played the Mass Effect trilogy as well. And going back to the first one, it's a great story and everything, but at this point, it's just starting to feel really dated, and it's hard to push through with the combat and stuff. And Dragon Age 1's a little bit like that. But you're right, the story and characters are incredible.
I'm going to try adding Jocelyn to the call. Give me one sec. Ugh, it always kicks people out. Jocelyn, how's it going?
Did I just kick someone out? I'm sorry.
I don't know why it doesn't add people to the call. I wonder if I can... you'd think I would have figured this out. It just gives me the option to put you on hold, which is unfortunate. sorry, Evan. Evan, call back in. We'll try to add you to the group. That's the second time I've kicked him out.
I'm sorry, Evan.
He was talking about Dragon Age. We'll get him back in, and we'll keep talking.
Fucking Skype.
I know. It worked the first time. I had Josh in, and I added Lou successfully. And, sorry about that, Evan. But he seems happy.
I wasn't even supposed to be here tonight, and I'm just, like, booting people. All right. Get off my show.
Let's see if this works. Yeah. Oh.
Hello? I'm back.
Now I booted Jocelyn.
Oh, no. I can
see okay. We're all here. Skype is like, you're totally just on a call with Evan, so... But Jocelyn's still here. Hey, look at that. It worked. Thanks for calling back, Evan.
Oh, that's all right.
I can't hear Evan.
Thank you for having me back. What? This is fun.
Jocelyn can't hear you. Can you hear Jocelyn?
No.
Oh, weird. How am I talking to... What's happening?
Skype is the worst.
This...
It took me like 5 minutes how to figure out how to call somebody who's not in my contact list. I was just like, what?
Anyways, I don't know.
I can leave if you like. If you want to talk to Jocelyn, that's fine.
I'll talk to Joss for a bit, and then when she's done, you're welcome to call back. We can pick up our Dragon Age talk.
I'm sorry Evan.
give me. He's gone. I don't even know where you are. You're like in.
I don't know.
You're in the ether here. I don't see you on my Skype at all. I wouldn't even know how to hang up with you on you if I wanted to. So that's fun.
Oh man.
So anyways, you had a bit of a birthday thing happen.
I did. So, hi everybody. The reason that I couldn't actually make it tonight is I literally walked in from work, kicked off my shoes, lay down on the couch and went, oh, I'm so tired and my foot hurts. And my mom, who lives a 2-hour plane ride or 20-hour drive away, said, surprise, why does your foot hurt? And scared the living crap out of me.
Yeah,
so,
Joel
my
had
parents are here for my birthday.
Awesome. Yeah, Joel had tipped me off on Wednesday, and I'd had such a couple crazy days. And you know, funny enough, that listeners might not realize this, but this is actually our second call-in episode. The first one was years ago, and
yes, I'd forgotten about that.
It actually worked out a lot better than tonight. So I don't know why we haven't done one since, but. Tonight is reminding us that Skype is a fickle B-word. But, yeah, it's nice that you were able to join us. So the parents have hit the hay. Is that what's happened?
Yeah, they were up to catch the flight at about 5 o'clock this morning. So they decided they were going to call it early tonight, which is fine. Mm-hmm. I think all the listeners know, but my dad had some pretty serious health problems a couple of years ago. So he had a... bleed in his brain and was in the ICU for about 3 weeks at Christmas, not this past one, but the one before. So he doesn't usually stay up that late anyway. He gets really tired really easily. So they decided that they were just going to pop back to the hotel and go to bed. So we're going to see them all day tomorrow and then all day on Sunday. And they're here till Tuesday morning. So I'm super stoked. I sent my co-boss an email, and I was like, so, just so you know, my parents randomly just jumped in my face, so I'm not coming to work on Monday.
Nice.
Enjoy!
That's
good. It helps that, like, I quit a week ago, so are they going to say, really?
Well, I mean, you know, your parents are coming in from out of town. Like, worst case scenario, you call in sick. What are they going to do, fire you?
Exactly. Like to see them try.
Probably. Well, I don't know how it works. Like, isn't it bad? I don't know. Anyways, politics, office, all that fun stuff. We don't want to talk about work. We want to talk about video games. Yes. And Nerdtacular.
Oh, my God, dude. Okay, so I have a story to tell you.
Oh, story away.
So I was sitting in, they had all of the producers behind tables, mm-hmm. and there was like, it was kind of a big L shape. So I was sitting with Garrett and Dills, and obviously the Angry Chicken is on the Frog Pants Network. So, you know, most people were sitting there and, you know, oh, I love the Angry Chicken. I love the Angry Chicken. So I want to give a huge, huge, massive shout out to Joe, mm-hmm. because he walked up and said, I've been listening to your show for the last 2.5 years. And I went, what?
Oh, nice. Not like, even connect.
Angry Chicken's only been going for like 8 months. What even? He's like, no, I'm a huge fan of the Gamers. And I was like, dude, you just made my Nerdtacular. So, hi, Joe. Thank you so much. You were fantastic. He was nice and kind and respectful and just, oh, he was fantastic. So
awesome.
Ryan, say hi to Joe.
Joe, hello, Joe. I'm sorry I didn't get to meet you. 2015, let's do it. Let's meet up.
So, yeah, he was a really big fan. Awesome. Loves both Gamers Inn and Angry Chicken. And, yeah, it was awesome. So there was some Gamers Inn love at Nerdtacular as well. So, but the whole event was just so crazy. Like, I came home on Tuesday. We got home Monday night around like midnight, 1 a.m. Tuesday was a write-off. I just slept. But I've been so tired because it's like, it's a vacation, but it's not a vacation. It's like you're going. So
it's very true. I remember last year coming in and it was getting home and I had maybe one extra day and thank the gaming gods, because traveling, as fun as it is to meet all those people, it's still exhausting, and getting home and having to hit the ground running right away is tough on your body, because it's stressful to travel, especially when you're doing something for the first time. Like when I went to Nerdtacular, that was my first flight, first time being out of the country, first time seeing all these wonderful people. And of course, I had blew it all out of proportion in my head because it was a fantastic time. But, 2015, I was moping around the house on the weekend, and even Ashley said to me, she's like, Ryan, we're going to go next year, okay? And I'm like, it worked! No, I didn't say that. I played it cool. I was like, yeah, I guess you're right. Okay. And I walked away, and then, you know, once I got in the other room and out of earshot, I was like, she doesn't listen to this. So no, it was a lot of fun. And I'm not rushing us. We can go longer if everybody wants to, but I don't want to like ruin anything, but I will say this, final call for callers. We had a couple people in the chat room show interest, and I don't want to leave anybody out. Jocelyn, I want you to stick around.
You can boot me anytime.
No, I want you to stick. If you can stick around, you might as well stick around. It's kind of your show, right?
It's my show too.
If somebody kicks you off the show, as they'll probably be like, please don't ban me. But if you guys want to call in, definitely call R. Murphy TGI. And
yeah, don't call Ryan TGI. That's not the same person.
No, it's not. He probably answered and he was like, what do you want? But I don't know what does TGI stand for otherwise that you would use. But
I don't know. Don't Google it, because, you know, it's probably some weird sex thing and I can't control that.
The goatsies in. I don't know. But no, we won't boot.
That's an invitation to guess, Ryan.
Really? Okay. Well, we won't boot Jocelyn, but definitely call in. This is the last call. It's R. Murphy TGI. We're just going to keep jamming on Nerdtacular and Smite and all the other fun stuff. I want to know, Jocelyn, because we're going to probably talk about Nerdtacular next week in detail. Because, I mean, you haven't had your chance to make me feel super jealous, which.
That's true.
On Sleeping with the Elephant, that's all that Paul did. I assume you gave him a big high five for me.
Oh, totally did.
Perfect. So
I gave him a hug. You guys bro hug guys now.
Really? That's new. See, they didn't have that at N13. It was mostly high fives. They must have added the bro hug with the Kickstarter. Plus,
it was a perk this year.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. Well, I'll remember that for next year. I'll bring my bro hug guide. So did you play any games on the plane?
So I had Wi-Fi on the plane for the first time ever. So I played Hearthstone all day. It was amazing.
Awesome.
I ended up, I think it ranked like 17 because I totally hit a wall. And for whatever reason, I was like going, like winning a game, losing a game, winning a game, losing a game, like clockwork. So I never got on a win streak. Every star I got, then I lost again. And I was just like, oh man, but the plane ride just flew by.
And boy, were your arms tired. I went full circle. So
you did.
You had Wi-Fi. Was that complimentary? Because usually it's like $20.
Oh no! It was $16 for a full day pass. Mm-hmm. So
and you were on a plane all day, weren't you?
We were. Yeah, we had 14 hours of travel time, so it was almost $1 an hour, which I thought was fully reasonable.
Oh yeah.
And the connectivity in the flight was amazing. Like, I mean, because Hearthstone demands a lot of bandwidth, and they do say in the actual like agreement, I guess, for the internet pass is like, we don't support things like HBO Go and Netflix and that kind of like constant streaming service.
Of course.
So I kind of thought, well, I'll give Hearthstone a try and see if it works, see if it doesn't. Like, it's an online all the time game, and it was fine. I had no lagging. I had no issues. Like, it was perfect. And I was just like, holy crap, like such great internet. And I mean, you're 30,000 feet above the earth. What's up with that?
if you believe in God, that's pretty much as close as you're going to get to getting a chance to play Hearthstone with God. Or birds. I mean, depending on what, if you're Egyptian, maybe. I
would say that Malfurion's the closest you get to playing Hearthstone with birds, but
Malfurion.
That's a druid joke.
Does he have birds on his shoulder that poop on his antlers or something?
He has like wings and junk.
Oh, wings and junk. I'm a big Warcraft guy. Malfurion's I know who that is. That's interesting. That's interesting. So how many connecting flights, the chat room's asking?
We had three flights altogether. So we flew from Halifax to Philadelphia mm-hmm. to Phoenix, and then Phoenix to Salt Lake City. So we had a five-hour flight from Philadelphia to Phoenix, and it went by just like that. It was like nothing. So, and it was all thanks to Wi-Fi and Hearthstone. So, and I mean, like Joel and I were talking about it, and when we used to watch movies on flights, you get through the first movie and then you're just, oh crap, like I have a whole nother like movie and a half before I land. But with Hearthstone, it's like the games are so fast paced. It's constantly going. It's not that you can't mark the time, but it's more difficult than like a 2-hour movie. So it's just like you had no concept of the fact that you'd been playing Hearthstone for 4 hours and, you know, like until they came on and said, okay, no more internet, we're descending.
Interesting. Yeah, so do we know that Hearthstone is an online-only title, and it's funny, we have to contractually state that, yes, Hearthstone is a part of the Angry Chicken A-Move channel, and this is the Gamers
Inn.
Sorry,
I didn't mean to get Hearthstone all over your TGI, guys.
But I will say that this is fitting, because I'm actually interested in talking about Hearthstone, because I am looking forward to the Naxxramas add-on that's going to be coming out in the summertime, because single-player content, yay!
That is true, and we got pricing details this week, so it is, I believe, I'll have to double-check it again, because I didn't prep for the show that I didn't know I was not going to be on, that now I'm actually on.
It's like, what, $25 for the whole thing?
It is, yeah. So it's $25 for the whole thing, unless you play within the first month. So basically, if you play in the first month of launch, then you get the first wing for free, which means basically what they've done is they've put together bundles. So you can buy any combination of wings using in-game gold or money, and you get the first one free if you play in the first month. So if you don't play in the first month, the whole entire set is $25. If you play in the first month, you can give them 20 and unlock the whole set. Or you can pay 700 gold per wing, and then they have varying prices. So you might, if you buy like two wings using in-game gold, then there's a price bundle for the other two wings, assuming you got one free, or there's a pricing bundle for three wings if you didn't get the free wing. And so they have all of this all worked out of how much in-game gold versus money versus free wings and all the rest of it, depending on when you're playing and why. And it is the best free-to-play model I have ever seen. Like, yeah. It's so accommodating. So I'm really impressed. And I can understand now why they delayed the announcement, because they were supposed to announce it July 1st, mm-hmm. and they pushed it back a week. And I can understand that now, seeing all the different bundles and, you know, all the different reviews it must have gone through, because it wasn't just, like, $20 for the expansion and 700 gold a wing. Like, they've really tried to make it as accessible as possible for as many different play styles as possible, because I know, like, I was talking on Twitter with Rob from BlizzPro, I think, mm-hmm. and he was on the Angry Chicken a couple weeks ago, and if I got that wrong, I am so, so sorry.
Well, he's not coming back, I guess.
No, I know.
Can't remember my name? Raids quit.
Yeah, really. Anyways, and he was saying, like, he has the same problem that I do, in that we don't have full collections yet, so as soon as we hit 100 gold, we buy a pack. So, I mean, my gold balance in-game is, like, 20. So... like, I'm going to be buying everything for real money, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of people that have been saving up forever. And if they've been saving up forever, they can buy the whole thing for, you know, like 2,800 gold. And it's just so flexible. I think they've done a fantastic job.
The understanding person in me sees these prices and says, awesome. We know pricing. It's kind of weird in the way they tried to announce this, in the sense that they started with pricing and then later on they're going to actually explain what each of those wings are, in the sense that, do we actually know how long these wings are, how much content we're getting for these wings, how much gold rewards we're getting in the wings? Because
we don't know how many gold rewards, like mm-hmm. what exactly the rewards are going to be, outside of the fact that there's going to be 30 new cards added to the game. One card per class. Mm-hmm. So you have to do a special challenge. So basically what they do is they give you a deck for each hero and say, can you beat the boss with these cards? The one that we saw in a leaked screenshot a little while ago, I think, was the Hunter Challenge, and the whole draw was just the Web Spinner, which was just the Hunter card.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like, you know, in the Hunter Challenge, what the Web Spinner does is it, when it dies, I believe, yeah, because all the cards are Death Rattle cards. So when it dies, it gives you a random beast, and it's any beast in the game. You don't have to own it. So it could be anything from the Angry Chicken all the way through to King Crush, which is the 8/8 with charge legendary beast. So it can be anything in between. Mm-hmm. And so it looks like the Hunter Challenge is to have all Web Spinners and then play with whatever those random beasts end up being. So, you know, they're really, really interesting. There's a lot of interesting mechanics. There's a lot of interesting challenges, but we don't know 100% for sure, like, how many bosses are in each wing, what the rewards are outside of, you know, we get new cards, that sort of thing. Excuse me. Sorry. I'm still trying to kick this cough. It's gotten worse since Utah.
Well, you know, traveling. You're flying at a million miles an hour.
High altitude.
Yeah. It's
the altitude that did it.
It's not Hearthstone. You're not allergic at all to epic card games.
Not at all.
I'm looking forward to trying it, and I think the free wing is definitely a good start. And I never felt like, I didn't look at 700 gold and think, that's going to take forever to get. Mm-hmm. I think with a little bit of grinding and some luck, I think that's the incentive I need to actually play. Like, I don't dislike Hearthstone. It's just that there wasn't much of a drive for me to play. Hello, Hog Hunter.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm great. Jocelyn probably can still hear me, but you can't probably hear her.
I can hear you, but I can't hear him. I'll call you back.
All right, Jocelyn's going to call back, and we're going to get her in, and we're gonna chat some more Hearthstone. But no, Hog Hunter's joining us. Should I keep calling you Hog, Mr. Hunter? Do you have a name I should use?
Hog. That's easiest.
Just Hog?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Hog's here. And Hog, what have you been playing? Have you been playing Hearthstone like Jocelyn has?
I have been playing Hearthstone. I've sadly got the same problem as Jocelyn. I am currently stuck in rank 18, and it's driving me insane.
Are you hitting, like, all kinds of net decks, like Zoo and Miracle and the Control Warrior? Because I face the same three decks all the time.
Oh my gosh. I get so many rogues. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, and Freeze Mage, because there's nothing more frustrating than playing a whole bunch of creatures and having them go, boom, frozen. Now what? And then you go, oh, god damn it.
Yeah. When it comes to Hearthstone,
Ryan's like, miracle what now?
I don't know, lingo. I don't know. I don't know what's happening, guys. You gotta slow down. This is like French.
I need an adult.
Yeah, man, Twitch, you're such a bum. I'm getting a lot of drop frames, we'll keep on trucking, because the audio version will be fantastic.
Oh yeah, the audio version,
and also the video version too, because it's archived locally. So Twitch, I'm sorry, hang in there. But
stop being a jerk.
Yeah, stop being a jerk.
Damn it, Twitch.
So in terms of Hearthstone, Hog, are you like a casual player like me, or are you an angry chicken elite? Are you in there?
I must say I have watched pretty much every episode of The Angry Chicken. I'm pretty hyped to be on here with Jocelyn, must say. Yeah, it's pretty sick.
Well, that's why we brought Jocelyn and we brought you in, and we wanted to make this work.
Yeah, so I ended last season on 15, so that's probably best done.
That's good. I haven't played, I haven't gone up the ladder much in the last two or three seasons. I did in the first season. I got up to 10, I think. I almost broke into 9, but just didn't give it enough of a go at the end. And then this season, I was like, okay, this is going to be my season. I'm going to surpass Dills. I'm going to hit Legend. I'm going to be the first Angry Chicken to hit that Legend mark. And then I played literally 10 hours on the plane all the way to Utah and then all the way home. And I just went 17, 18. I was like, oh,
nothing.
So much
worse.
Grinding and no gain. Are you going to make a run at any certain rank? Do you have a goal for the season?
I'd like to surpass 15. That's definitely my goal, is to beat my best.
Oh, you can totally do that. And as soon as they put Naxx cards in there, it's going to really shake up the meta. So we should see a lot of new decks soon, which I think is what everybody's waiting for. And I was kind of hoping to grind up before the meta change. Only because, I mean, like, that's just going to be such a shit show. Like, really and truly. Yeah. It's going to be so crazy once all those death rattles start coming in. So, I was hoping to get one more season where I know the cards and I know the meta and I know what's going to happen, and then it's not working out for me. But are you playing anything else other than Hearthstone?
I've been playing a lot of CSGO lately because it went on special.
Okay,
on Steam,
what is CSGO?
Counter-Strike Global Offensive. It's like a heavily based physics shooter. So yeah, it's pretty competitive.
Were you guys talking about that earlier?
Counter-Strike is something I've played a little bit back in the day. I have yet to pick up Go, although every time it goes on sale, I'm kind of like, kind of want to get that just to try it. Is it very reminiscent of the old school Counter-Strike? Like,
I never played 1.6. I played Source, but it's very similar to Source, but the guns have changed a lot.
Interesting. So is it
worth getting into as someone who didn't play Counter-Strike? Mm-hmm. Or is everybody going to be like way, way ahead of me and no point and I can never compete sort of thing? Or is it accessible to new players?
I'd like to say it's accessible, but it's totally not. There's so many elitists out there.
So I should just listen to you talk about it and then be like, oh, that sounds lovely. Carry on.
You probably should.
Is there a big sort of following for CSGO, or are people sort of looking at it like, oh, I don't want to play that, I want to play Source?
Yeah, no, Go, it's definitely, a lot of people are just like, yeah, Source is better, full stop, but Go does have a huge following anyway, so good. It's good.
Yeah, no, that's good to hear, because I remember when it got announced, a lot of people were like poo-pooing it, and But I know Scott played it and had a quick play up and enjoyed it. And it goes on sale usually for like $7.50. Now, did you pick it up on the Steam sale, or did you always have it?
No, I picked it up on the Steam sale. So yeah, this summer. So I'm pretty new.
Awesome. Well, that's good. And are you good at it, or are people killing you?
I am an absolute shocker. I'm terrible. I consistently end at the bottom of the ladder every match, and my friends hate me for it.
That sounds like whenever I play a first-person shooter. But you know what? It's not.
Did you say you're a shocker?
Yeah, I'm a shocker. Terrible.
Oh, I didn't know that was a thing. Oh, new word.
Oh, cool. I didn't know people didn't say that. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what that. I didn't know what that was either. Hey, we can use that now. Whenever we end up at the bottom, we're a shocker.
It sounds so much more impressive. Like, oh, don't worry, I was just shocking all match, so whatever.
Yeah, and I'm like, what do you say if you're playing, like, Battlefield and you're, like, a medic and you're actually literally going around shocking people? You know, like, is being a shocker
means something totally different up in North America. It's
for a second there, I was trying to think, like, is that's not the same thing, but then, yeah, it is. But no, like, I guess if you did that, the joke's gone, Ryan. But no, it's
the joke's gone.
Yeah.
Too late. It's gone. Save it.
Once you say the shocker and Jocelyn realizes that that is very different Canadian slang, we move on. But no, Hearthstone, CSGO, fun stuff. Did you pick up any other gems on the Steam sale?
I'm trying to think of what I bought now. I bought Fallout with all its DLC, New Vegas.
How could you not?
Really enjoying that.
I think I got that on the Christmas sale. I have such a big backlog right now. It's crazy.
Well, you know, backlog is... You know what? I don't know what it is about a backlog, but I just keep adding to it, and I feel like I just keep wanting to add to it, and I'm never gonna go back and be like, oh, that game in my backlog, like, for example, Fallout New Vegas, I picked that up because, you know, the Frog Pants community was going nuts because of Ladies Elite talking about it, and I played it, enjoyed it, but didn't beat it, so I figured, like, hey, this is the perfect opportunity, but when am I ever gonna have time to play it unless, you know, I spend all of my vacation time just, you know, sitting at home for a month playing video games, which would be fantastic, but... Also,
probably not feasible.
No, probably not. I mean, you know, we need to save time for Nerdtacular, weddings, Christmas, maybe. You know,
get your priorities straight. Nerdtacular before weddings,
right? Well, yeah. If you've been
listening, it is Ryan's own wedding, though, so I feel like maybe that's a priority.
Yeah. Well, it depends. If you're getting married at Nerdtacular, then it's sort of the same, right?
Whoa, that actually happened last year.
It did. It didn't happen this year.
Not that I know of. I actually don't think there were any engagements either. The Valentines had their twins yesterday.
That's true. I saw that on Facebook. Congrats to the Valentine's twins. Or not the twins. I mean,
Renee, who actually made the twins.
Yeah, the twins. Well, they were born successfully. I mean, you got to give them some credit.
Got to give them some props.
Yeah. But no, to Renee and to JJ for their two beautiful girls, Zoe and...
And Maya.
Maya, thank you. See, we make a great team. I'll remember one name, you remember the other.
Perfect.
That's all we have to... Zoe, I kind of cheated there a little bit, but...
Yeah, you totally did.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, you know what? I'm gonna call this call-in show a success and just blame everything else on Twitch. How's that sound, folks?
That sounds perfect.
It was really cool to watch, actually. I would like to say that. It was pretty cool.
Oh, thanks, man. Well, that's great. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thanks,
Hog. It's fine. Yeah, thanks for having me on. Yeah.
No problem.
It was a lot of fun. But, Hog, if you want to stick around, we're gonna go through the rest of the show here. We're going to wrap things up. But before we head into the epic read, why don't you tell the fine folks where they can find you? What do you got to plug?
I have a Twitch account. You can find me on, of course, my Twitch account, which is twitch.tv/hoghunter, I believe. But it's with a 3, not an E, because swagger and an underscore between... because I don't use spaces. Mm-hmm. I'm just pretty cool
who
like that.
Spaces?
I know, right?
Camel case, yeah, right? That's how you get away from it.
Followed.
Cool.
Cool. Well, thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you. Now, your avatar is... I got to mention this. I just realized that I was going to move on without talking about a Sonic the Hedgehog / what kind of dog is that?
Corgi?
I believe it's a corgi. It's pretty
cool. Man.
In crosshairs. We should mention the crosshairs.
Yes. It's sort of like Hog Hunter, Sonic the Hedgehog. It was a little pun thing, I don't know. I threw it together in GIMP, so...
I thought maybe you were a fan of...
GIMP is tough.
I thought maybe he was a Nintendo fan, but an old-school Nintendo fan, where Nintendo fans all hated Sonic.
I love old-school Nintendo.
Yeah, there you go.
Old-school Nintendo is the crap, man. It's amazing.
So it makes sense, because as an old-school Nintendo fan, you hate Sonic.
Yeah. Sega Genesis, go down the loo.
Yeah, there you go.
The loo.
Not Lou, who was on before. No, not at all. Lou may have been a Sonic fan, though, so it could have just worked out.
He's going to hate.
Yeah, so thank you for calling in. I want to remind all the fine folks that if you want another call-in episode, definitely email us. I'm getting ahead of myself. If you want to show your TGI pride, head over to slashloot.com. That's slashloot.com to grab yourself a Gamers In t-shirt. They have tons of other awesome shirts, including designs by Carter Johnson, like Best Pals, who you could have met in person at Nerdtacular, as well as all your other favorite podcasts like Azeroth Roundtable, who were there, right, Jocelyn? She's not there. The Morning Stream, we know we're there. Zombies Ate My Podcast, no one was there. And The Angry Chicken, which they had an epic live episode at Nerdtacular. Go to amove.tv/tech to see that content. Justin's still not there. So go to slashloot.com and show off your podcast.
Sorry, I'm here, but you're totally cutting in and out. I was trying to close down any program that could potentially be interfering with Skype.
I wonder if it's me, you know? Like, I'm blaming all these other things, and... It's totally you. It might be me. Well, you know what? Technical difficulties. I do have a tenant. I might need to... this might be a sign to cut his internet. But anyways, let's wrap this up before anything else explodes. If you enjoyed this live stream call-in episode, be sure to let us know. You know, visit us on the web, gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on amove.tv, along with other fabulous podcasts, including Into the Nexus, Campaign Roundtable, Biggest Fan, Angry Chicken, and Amove Radio. Follow us on Twitter. You can find Jocelyn at GIS Gamer, Ryan at R Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers In. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/Jocelyn Moffat. You should totally go subscribe. You can also find us on Facebook and Google+. Finally, email the show at info@gamersinpodcast.com. Tell us to do another call-in episode, because it won't happen unless you do it, because we listen to you. Before we go, I just wanted to give a quick shout-out and thank you to Greg Moffat for creating our music. Find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We'd also like to thank Joel Duggan, who does all our graphic work. You can find him and everything he does at joelduggan.com. Thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember to tune in next week. Thank you to all our fantastic callers.
Thank you! Smite.